to join us and to go around the league. Jeff Darlington, NFL Network, joins us live on the Metro PCS hotline. Jeff is in Atlanta. He was at that Monday night game last night between the Jets and the Falcons. Just like everybody expected, Jeff, that one last night.
Yeah, this was a fascinatingly bad situation for the Falcons and a very uplifting one for the Jets. But I think that, you know, despite the fact that Geno Smith had himself the finest game of his career, no doubt the big news to come out of that game was the injury to Julio Jones.
Julio Jones likely out for the year. There's talk all over the internet about fire sale for the Atlanta Falcons. They're 1-4. They're thanking heaven that they're not in the AFC East because they can't beat any of those teams. I'm seeing, you know, the back and forth type stuff about, you know, Tony Gonzalez, and do they start trying to unload guys? Is that realistic at all, though?
No, not at this point. In fact, not really at all. Late October is the trade deadline, but there is no anticipation from what I'm hearing that this is going to be a fire sale situation. Tony Gonzalez is committed to the Falcons, and they don't want to give up on the season by trading him away either. Obviously, things are bleak at 1-4. Obviously, it's going to be difficult to get those things better when you consider that the team is very discouraged from what they saw Julio Jones this morning, what the medical team saw. He's going to get a second opinion tomorrow, but their expectation is that he is done for the year. Roddy White also dealing with a hamstring injury. So you can understand why people are suggesting the idea of trading perhaps Tony Gonzalez, but at this point I'm being told that that is not an option.
Yeah, who would entertain that idea, though? Tony being this age, Tony not coming into camp for the most part. I mean, it'd be hard for a team to really take that offer up, wouldn't it?
I think that, you know, the rumors got started, and I don't even want to call them rumors. I think it was just mild speculation because Kansas City is 5-0. That's Tony Gonzalez's old home. Mm-hmm. He wants to chase the ring. I think it's surprising just because I could never fathom Tony Gonzalez, knowing what I know of him, wanting to be the guy who would jump ship onto another bandwagon to try to just chase a ring. It's just not in his character or makeup. So, you know, despite the fact that I understand the obvious connection there, it's not something that that I see as realistic, knowing both Tony and the organization here in Atlanta.
Jeff, you look at Atlanta at 1-4, and obviously the areas for concern, but I don't know. I just can't help tell myself that you can't give up on those guys. I still think there's enough good football players on the team. You've got a quarterback that can lead you through this type of thing. Injuries, everyone's going to have injuries. You find a way to fight through them. I still have a hard time believing this team isn't going to at some point turn around and become a playoff contender.
Well, Bo, here's the difficult part, and here's the reason it's so bleak in Atlanta right now. They already had red zone issues going into this game. They had gotten into the red zone 18 times going into this game. That's more than any team in the NFL heading into week four, including the Denver Broncos. And yet they were still 28th in the league in red zone efficiency. Now, I had been talking to some people here in Atlanta saying that the reason for that was that Roddy White wasn't himself because of the high ankle sprain that he was dealing with for the first several games. Now, they felt like he was as healthy as he had been all season last night. That was going to help them in the red zone because Tony Gonzalez has been double-teamed. No one's really respecting Roddy this season. All of a sudden, though, Roddy dealing with the hamstring, Julio now down, Steven Jackson still hurt, and the offensive line not giving Matt Ryan nearly enough time. It's just so difficult to think that they can improve in the red zone. Now, they had a better game, 4 or 5 in the red zone last night. But when you consider that you take out Julio Jones and Roddy White now being injured again, it's just so difficult to fathom that they're going to overcome the issues that were plaguing them when Julio Jones was even on the field.
What has been the blowback of the final drive in the first half and not putting points on the board?
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult because, you know, actually they probably ended up meeting those points. I think, you know, obviously there was a lot of questions, a lot of surprise, the fact that Mike Smith did go for it, especially given the red zone woes that they've been facing. I think it almost struck me as a type of situation where Mike Smith, and this is just speculating, but that Mike Smith basically wanted to make a point that we're gonna get our guys in the end zone, and that's just the wrong attitude to have when you have to recognize that in that situation you get those points on the board and suddenly it's 17-10, you're a touchdown within the lead, and I just think that it was just you got to take the points in that situation.
I thought it was bizarre too because I mean we saw Mike Smith down here. kicked the field goal a couple of times when I was like, oh, he could have gone for it. And then last night, it seemed like almost the complete opposite thing.
Yeah, it felt like he was almost making that point. It's just a weird situation, especially when you consider that. I mean, I think that if it was a team that was very successful in the red zone, say like the Broncos, they would have kicked the field goal there, or they would have had Peyton do the naked bootleg, I guess.
Exactly. All right, before we turn into the Falcon Siders, let's move on. A team with a better record than Atlanta, but probably feeling even worse, has to be the Houston Texans. They go to San Francisco, Sunday night game, national television. They get destroyed. Matt Schaub, he's got the deer in the headlights thing going on. He was already a little bit on the hot seat, you know, as a quarterback coming into this season, and it looks really, really bad for Houston right now.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That was not the bounce back that I anticipated. And, you know, I was at the week before when it all started to unravel with the pick six against Seattle. And the Matt Schaub I saw there really just sort of made me lose any level of confidence that he's going to get it back, because it was just toward the end of that game when you felt the momentum shifting. Just I was on the sideline watching Schaub, and just his demeanor, he just looked – in that moment, I feel like real, true franchise quarterbacks, championship quarterbacks, sort of rise to the occasion and get that fighter mentality. And he just looked defeated in the corner. And, you know, that comes out the next week and throws another. The fourth pick six in four consecutive weeks. I mean, that's some mind-blowing stuff right there. And, you know, I'm going to be out there this Sunday when they play the Rams. And it just blows my mind, because for years I kept thinking, God, this Texans team, you talk about Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt, Matt Schaub, who can put up numbers. You just felt like that team was going to do something with that talent, and it has just been squandered. It's just a really weird, just strange demise.
And it doesn't look like it's going to get much better. You know, Andre Johnson hasn't gotten into the end zone yet. Owen Daniels banged up. You know, and Arian Foster hasn't been the same Arian Foster. Where's the light at the end of the tunnel for these guys?
I mean, you really compare it to the Falcons. It's two teams that a lot of people want to buy into because when you look across the roster, you see that talent. And it starts to make you wonder, though, when you look at these offensive lines, it's like you start to think to yourself, maybe there is something to be said. You want a high-powered offense, but that requires investing in those high-powered weapons. And all of a sudden, just as we see with the Dolphins, you start to have these offensive line issues because you haven't invested in that unit. And it's one of the reasons what the NFL is so – why it's so great is because you've got that salary cap. You've got to figure out a way to spread the wealth out across the roster and make sure that you're firm everywhere. And you see these teams with these talented playmakers, but then you see quarterbacks who can't get those guys the ball because they just literally have no time.
Jeff, are you amazed when you look at the worst teams in the National Football League right now? You throw Jacksonville in there, but then you throw New York Giants, Pittsburgh Steelers, the collections of guys at the bottom rung of the National Football League. It's pretty shocking right now.
Yeah, it's crazy too, Bo, because you know, the first 4 weeks, I'm one of those guys with mentality where it all shake out, the cream rises, everything figures itself out. But all of a sudden you start to hit week five and you see, you know, the Chiefs still at 5-0. You see the Giants at 0-5. You see the Falcons at 1-4. And all of a sudden you're saying, wow, this actually is sort of the road we're headed down. You know, last year, the reason I have that mentality oftentimes, especially in the past 5 years, is when you see the Steelers make the late season run, the Giants make the late season run. You see these teams, the Ravens last year, and end up pushing at the right time. But when you get yourself in that 0-5, 1-4 hole, it's just so difficult to climb out and expect to have any seeding if you're even going to get a wild card spot to make that run toward the Super Bowl.
Really good stuff. Jeff Darlington of NFL Network, of course, is on the Twitter at Jeff Darlington. Joins us every Tuesday to go around the National Football League. Jeffrey, appreciate it. Wild stuff in Atlanta, man, as you take a look back at that Falcons team and what they're going through. Every year we think we know what we're talking about. Every year we think we know who those teams are going to be. And every year we get surprised. Never learn our lesson. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeff Darlington on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com.